What's interesting is that my message is called today Returning to Eden or Time to Step into Fullness. What's interesting is that September is the ninth month, and those of you that know the prophetic meaning of numbers, is nine is the number of fullness. It's a woman carries a child for 9 months. And then the child was born also. There are also nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are nine fruit of the Spirit. Remember? And so this number is the number of fullness. So interesting that it kind of happened this way. Ninth month, fullness. God, again, is confirming that we have stepped into the time where we have to enter into the fullness. We have entered into time where time of childish behavior in the church is over. So in this season, we will clearly see a shift. It happened already in the spirit realm. It happened. And so soon we will see it in the physical realm, how things will change around us. But before they will change around us, they have to change inside of us. And this is the things that I want to share with you. Today is returning into Eden, or time to step into fullness. You know, we live in a very unique time when the Lord is preparing His bride for new era. Do you know that new era is coming? There are people that are afraid of it. If you will speak, it's quite a few Christians, they're afraid of the future, they're afraid of Antichrist, of persecution and gloom and doom things, and they're searching, where should I go, where should I hide from this all? So, but we are the category of Christians that we're not afraid of the future because we know who we are and who lives inside of us when we know what we have been called to. Do you know what you're called to? Are any of you afraid of the future? Of course not. So, you know, right now we're in time of a serious preparation where God is preparing each and every one of us for this new era, for this future time. So that is why we go through testings, we go through our trials, that is why sometimes we're under pressure, sometimes it's so hard to go through the things that we go through. But all of this is in regards to that very soon, and this already starts to happen, it's happening right now that the church will walk in her full rights and will start to reign on this earth. You know, for a while now, we were asking and we were praying, Lord, we want new, Lord, we want new move, we want more, we want new. And you know, this already happened. I know we're in that season where we don't need to ask for new, we're already in the new. And you'll say, well, I don't see anything new around myself, nothing changed around me. What new are you talking about? I don't feel new. I'll tell you this. Often, God gives us different visions into our hearts, different things. The Lord shows us. Sometimes maybe some of you had dreams, or when you're in prayer, you see images and you're thinking, whoa, where's that from? I can't really do that yet. So the Lord already showed you in the Spirit what to do. So that already happened. But we as people, we're such interesting creatures that beings that we believe more what people tell us from the side. We believe the bad news, that say, oh, something bad is coming, some sort of calamity or economical crisis. And we, our ears, start to hear it. We believe more into that than what the Spirit is telling us in our spirit. But I'm sure that every one of you will check yourself. I know that God, for each and every one of you, gives things into the Spirit about the things that He wants to do, what He's about to do, and the things that He's currently doing. But why is it that we as a church, we cannot enter, or we're not in the new visibly? Because we choose to believe more. We believe fear. We believe more the enemy than what God is saying, and then we're amazed. Why is it that we don't see this new? Why is it that we don't see this move? Why am I sitting in the old? Because our brain, our mentality, our intellect, we choose to go with the things that flesh tells us. So I believe that we're entering into the new season where our brain will be restored to the new level. You know, one time God took me to this interesting vision. It was in the middle of the day. I was sitting at home. I was looking out the window. I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but he took me into a vision. He started showing me very interesting things, and I was part of it. And there was other people involved. So what happened is, it was a great move in cities. Christians, children of God, they were a sensation to this world. So what God was doing through them, these signs and wonders, these manifestations that were following them, they were so crazy and so out of this world that no one's done that before, no one's seen it before. And what's interesting, that reporters and everyone that was writing the news, they were asking, what is this that you're carrying upon yourself? What is it that you're doing? They would invite him to talk shows, secular talk shows, the very popular that you could see on famous channels. They were invited, and God and the atmosphere started doing crazy, awesome things. So people would start to repent. The people that the talk show host would give their lives to God right there and then. Healings were happening. It was all happening, not even on church territory or some sort of evangelical movement. No, it was on neutral territory. And I kind of came out of it. I'm thinking, what was that? What is it that I just saw? I never even had dreams like this or even thought that it could happen with me or I could be part of it. I was always thinking that I'm that, you know, I had this mentality before. Who am I? You know, there are special people anointed for this kind of stuff. You know, it's like this one, it's a joke, I don't know, but it was a true story. One sister in Christ was praying in the church. She says, Lord, I'm like the small grain of sand that you send all over the world. I'm so unworthy of you, so unworthy of you. I'm so small in your presence. The other says, I am, Lord, I'm like the small atom. You can't even see me. I'm divided into many different parts. I'm so tiny before you. And the third sister springs and says, Lord, I'm like the sorry little worm before your eyes. I'm not worthy. And the first says to the second sister, oh, look at that third sister. She considers herself a worm? Who does she think she is? And this is exactly the same thing. When the Lord would show me that I could be part of his movement, at first I didn't believe. I said, Lord, no, this is for someone else. It's not for me. And then God started telling me, he's convicting me. He says, that's why you're not there yet. This is why you cannot enter that. And that is why God is right now is searching for new people that are ready to receive this new way of thinking, that receive this new image regarding themselves, that they can see themselves as that and move in it, they can receive it, they're ready to walk in the things that have not seen, that eyes has not seen. And the Lord is searching for these people. Look, and I know that the season is coming where the move, different pieces from different visions, where people will not need to be shoved with like words and repent, God is coming. No, I know that people will see this move on you. I'm speaking towards every one of you. This word is for you. This is not into the crowd. This is for you. You will be part of that. If you will receive it, if you will believe into it, you will be a part of this. People will come up to you and they will speak. Who are you? What is it that you carry upon yourself? I want this. Introduce me to your God. There will not be time where we will start and chase people and testify and make them repent and whatever. God will be everywhere and people will look for you. But you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that the seven people will grab onto your clothing and say, who is your God? And that time is coming. You'll be those people. People will grab onto you. They will search for you. You'll be invited. You'll be asked to pray and you will say, please introduce me to your God. This is for you. This is you. And I know that so very soon we will see the cities that are captivated by the Holy Spirit. The Lord was showing me these images and he just wants me to release it. You know, I feel like how his heart is crying out. I would say because people are not ready to receive the things that the Lord has prepared for them.
For many years, the heavens were shut. Why is it the church didn't see new things that the Lord has prepared and the things that they should be walking in? Because the church was not receiving it. These new revelations, these hidden mysteries of heaven, and you know what was happening? The devil would take these revelations away. He'd take these truths away and pervert them, and the Satanists would start using them. That is why church has been stolen from, and God is standing there and says, Lord, says, I want to give this to you. Who can receive it? Who can take it? But you know, we're like, people will say, Lord, this is, what is this? I've never seen this. I don't understand this. I don't know this. Oh, Lord, this is the price is way too high. You're asking way too much for me. This is not for me. And you know what started happening? Years. Centuries would go by and the heavens would be shut over the earth. But in this last prayer, the Lord was showing that the time has passed and the heavens have been opened, and I've seen this great water flow that started pouring out. And this is not new things. It's the things the church should be walking in. But the church refused to receive and refused to walk in them. But certain people rose up, and they are raising up all over the world. They say, Lord, I want this. The things that no one wants, I want it. I will take it for myself. I will walk in it. And you know what? Heavens were open. And for the last couple of prayers, I don't walk the same. I cannot remain the same because I know this flow, this surge is coming. It is taking all things away, things that were before no longer exist. What God is releasing is a completely new level. It's not that time where you will sit on your bench and say, oh yeah, I'm just someone just comes to church. I'm simply just going to sit here. You know what? That time is no longer here. You'll either be completely captivated by the fire of God or you will not be here. This is not the time where you will sit in the middle and say, well, today maybe I'll go, maybe I'll skip tomorrow, or however I feel, and then I'll go hang out with my friends or whatever. Today I'll pray a little bit. Either you'll be completely walking in the fire, you will not be here. You will remain outside. You will just be looking at the things that will be happening. I know that God doesn't want anyone to remain behind the line. He wants everyone to be part of this new move because the heavens have been opened. Everything that you need is to receive and believe that you have been born for such a time as this. What is happening right now? Church is coming back, returning to its original. Why I've called this message Returning to Eden?
Because the time has come to return to original. For real, everything that we ask for, new Lord, you know what? It happened before, really. It's the things that Adam and Eve walked in, the first people walked in. This is, you know, we departed so far from the original that everything that is natural, everything that has to happen for us is so unknown. It's so unnatural that sometimes we say that this is the work of the devil. But really, the first people walked in it. So right now, God needs to break so many different fundamental things that we build up in our heads that are wrong, that to return us back to original. This is what the Lord is pouring out right now. Practically, it's not new. This is what we should be walking in. These are the things that we have been born to walk in. And so, look, why is it that we need to return to Eden? Why is it churches are in that condition that they're in currently? Why is it they will not be fruitful in this world? It even happens in live churches as well. Kinda in live churches. In religious churches, we're all captivated by ministry. We're all captivated by the desire to make it, by our own ambitions and goals. But you know what? We've lost the main thing. We've lost the love towards Him. And right now, I want to read to you Revelation 2, where God again confirms what was born in Eden. When God was creating people in Eden, He didn't create workforce. He didn't create just workers. You know what? He has angels for that, ministering spirits that fulfill the work that He asks them to fulfill. He has created people, first of all, that would be completely in love with Him, out of their mind, and He'd be in love with them as well. So what was happening in Eden, these people that were born, they knew the voice of God. look where we are currently in our time. We need to teach people how to hear the voice of God. Many people, how do you hear the voice of God?
You have been born to hear Him. You cannot not hear Him.
Just open up your ears. You will see Him in everything. Through numbers, through nature, through books. He will talk to you through thoughts. He will speak to you in many different ways. So people, they have been born not, you know, hearing the Lord is not from some ministers or anointed people or whatever. You can hear God right now. He's even speaking to you. Just open up your ears and hear what He's telling you. Later on,
what was happening in Eden,
they knew their function.
And they knew that they are
the fulfillment of God's dream. Look where church has gotten in our days.
Now we have to prove to people that God loves you, God forgives you, God accepts you.
They didn't even have questions about these things. They knew that God loves them and that any second they can connect with their Father. This is what the church lost. They had access to the Father 24/7.
And they lived in two different worlds or realms at the same time. Tell some sort of Christian outside.
Do you know that you can live in two realms at the same time and it is available for you? You can live in the physical realm as well as in the spirit realm.
You can go to heaven, back and forth.
You have access. They'll tell you that you're either, who do you think that you are? Are you some sort of heretic or Satanist? And then they will say, you're crazy.
But that happened with them. They walked in the garden. They were able
to just simply talk to God.
In the spirit realm, God
came to the garden and talked to them. Again, church lost that.
They were born with supernatural ability to create. Right now, you need to, again, just like to small children, chew their food for them. Do you know that your words have power? If you will say the things that you will say, it will happen. We need to explain. We need to dissect it for them. They already knew that. They would create with words because they were like God, created in His image and likeness. And it's all for us. Tell me now. If you take us, how many of us move in all these things that I just shared? Or you know some sort of church around that moves in all these things that have been called? Yeah, maybe some people here and there, we experience certain things, but you know what? This list is way longer. I just took maybe 2-3 main things. How many of us move in these things? Completely. Totally.
No one, really, because, again, we have departed from the original, and what we need to do right now, we need to return to Eden. To return to Eden, this moment, you need to forget about your ministry, forget about the things that you need to make it, that you need to go save the world. You need to go back and return to the love of the Father. We will go back into the Revelation, chapter 2:2-5. Jesus is speaking to one of the churches. I know your industry and activities, labor's toil and trouble, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. I know you're enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted. But I have this against you, that you have left the love you had at first. Remember then from what heights you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did previously, or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind and repent. Look, this church was the first. First of all, she loved to work. She ministered probably like no one else because God did tell him about this. This was church was full of endurance. I'm sure that they were going through many things. They never gave up. They didn't let their hands down. They moved forward. This was a church of honor because they did not like liars and imposters. They would confront them and get them out. These people were moving in the gifts of discernment. So they would discern liars. And these people were tested in hardships. So they were going through hard times and they did not break. And now tell me, how many churches around do you know that at least have these qualities, at least a couple of these qualities?
And look, even these guys, God told them, I have this one thing against you, that you have left the love you had at first, and if you will not repent or return to it, I will move your lampstand. All your work, all your endurance, the fact that you don't break, God doesn't care about that. That's not why He chose you. That's not why He called you, just to load you up with things to minister and work and work and work and work. No, He chose you because of love. If you feel that you're somewhere, took a wrong turn at the path and you're no longer on it where God was everything for you, cross out your ministries and the things that you do and come back to where you have fallen, because no one needs your ministry, your lampstand. You will remain with nothing. You lose God's love and all your ministry will end up as a big nothing. And look, the whole point of returning into Eden is to return to the love of the Father, is to return into His rest, to return and think, Lord, You have created me for love, and then everything else follows. This is where Jesus was in, and the purpose of Jesus and His goal was not to make it and get a team. Yes, God gave Him certain people that He would train, but Jesus was not planning on going and conquering the whole world. That was not His goal. First of all, if you remember reading the Bible, He would do His work and the things that the Father would tell Him to do. He'd go back into the mountain and spend time with the Father. And because of the time that He spent with the Father up in the mountain, everything else would flow out. And we just flipped everything around. We minister, 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 and then we say, Lord, if I have a little bit of time, I'll give it to You. Kind of like just leftovers. And that is why, just like our ministry is just to kind of put an X in there. Yeah, I did it. But in the spirit realm, really, it has no effect. It's not effective if we do it that way. Next, I would like to say what we call... You know, this message is so big and grand. When I started researching it, you know what? We probably need a couple of services to share this. So everything that we can discuss today is just scratch the surface. Just kind of in general, figure out what we're called for and what we should walk in. Colossians 1:25. Look, Paul says, in it I became a minister in accordance with divine stewardship which was entrusted to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery which was hidden in ages and generations, but it now is revealed to holy people.
To His holy people. I'm sure He was talking about the people of the last days. I believe that these people back then didn't understand this because it was hidden. We still try to figure out many mysteries currently, what God was writing through people 2,000 years ago, the things that He was saying, we still continue to try to figure it out. But I'm receiving this into our generation, and not, I'm reading, but now it is revealed to His holy people, the saints, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for Gentiles are the riches of glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of glory. And He says, He wanted. God was pleased. So now you don't have to say, Lord, please open up. Please reveal to me. He wanted to reveal this to you. This is His desire. This is initiative. All the riches of glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of glory. We just have to believe that Christ lives inside of us. And with Christ, there is fullness. In Him, there is all of heaven, because we are His people. We are His bride. Everything that belongs to Him belongs to us. And we're going to the next verse, chapter 2. You know, it's like a chain thing here. Chapter 2. Verse 3. Look, in Him all, in Jesus, that lives in us, in Him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehension, and insight into the ways of purpose of God, and all riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. So if you know Jesus, and you understand that all these hidden things that were hidden from the previous generations, He wants to reveal to you. He chose you for you to bring onto this certain occasion a key that church does not have currently. There are keys that church does not have right now. That is why maybe we don't walk at certain truths as we should be walking in. Maybe that is why we can't enter the things that disciples walked in, because There are people that God wants to release these keys into. And what do we do? We say, Lord, I'm so unworthy. This is not for me. This is too hard. This is too high of a price. And you know what? These things just remain, lay there dormant. And we'll get to verse 9. For him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity of Godhead continues to dwell in bodily form. And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ. If you connect with him, if you give your life to him, this is yours. You know, sometimes God says certain things and we refuse. You know what? When God sometimes tells you something personal, you kind of brush it up and say, oh, it's just my thoughts, I just made it up. As soon as some sort of prophet will come up to you and tell you the same thing, automatically you start believing. And the prophet does not come. All these things, all these truths that the Lord is giving to you, we just leave them out there on the shelf and say, Lord, why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you moving in my life? And he says, I've told you, I gave you these keys, I gave you revelations, why aren't you just keeping them? And then you said, why do I have to send a person or a mentor you and speak to him so you'd believe me that I'm speaking to you, even though I shared this with you personally, with you many, many times? And this is unbelief, is not being sure of yourself. This is what prevents us from entering into that fullness where we should be walking in.
Look,
I want to touch down a little bit. Isaiah 11:2. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Why? Because this is the fullness that's described here that Jesus walked in. You know that Jesus didn't walk in only a couple of gifts, gift of healing or faith. This is what we as a church move currently. Someone has the spirit of discernment or prophecy or healing. But there aren't people. We don't see these that move, not in all gifts, but they have all the attributes of the Holy Spirit inside of them, that walk in this fullness where Jesus was walking in. And look, Isaiah 11:2, it says here about Jesus, even before he came to earth, prophecy was released that the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the reverential obedient fear of the Lord. Look, these attributes were upon Jesus, but if Jesus lives inside of us, when we're completely with him, united, this fullness in us, then all these attributes automatically come onto us. It's like this mantle that comes upon us automatically. And look, I want to go over these things, what these seven spirits mean that he walked in. And this is what the church of the last days will walk in. And what you will walk in. What will be released upon you. I don't know. All this word, I'm thinking, Lord, what should I talk about? What sort of format will it be? And I feel that God is leading me in some, like, more like a prophetic word, releasing these things into your life. You can shout it out and say, maybe it's not for me, I don't understand it. Yeah, it's your thing. But if you will receive it and understand it, this will start happening in your life. God will start moving in your life at a completely new level. Because I feel these changes in me that I've never felt before. I don't quite exactly comprehend and understand them, but something big and grand is coming, and I'm no longer the one that I was a month ago or two weeks ago. And I know that right now we're living in a time or season where church enters into fullness. Church is entering into the fullness where Jesus was walking in. And so Isaiah 11, verse 2. Look. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. Who is God? God is love, first of all. Jesus would not move in all the things that he was moving if, first of all, he did not move in love. Number one thing is love. That was his Father. Love would be poured out of him to people. Jesus was not moving, you know, by people's opinions. He was not motivated by the fear of men. You know what? He could care less what they would say about him, how they would look at him, would they accept him him or not accept him. He simply was, you know what, he came onto this earth because he has loved this world. If it wasn't for his love, I don't know where he would be right now. He was moving, first of all, in the spirit of love. And if you look into our condition right now,
we're ready sometimes to leave churches,
break
relationships with other people, maybe because of certain situations.
And we're just ready to leave everything and scrap everything because we got upset.
But Jesus was moving in that, I know that. If he'd go for it, we would never see the new covenant or any of these things. So first of all, church will move in love, crazy love towards God, crazy love towards people, where either they bless you or curse you, they listen to you or not listen to you. You continue to love and you continue to move forward.
So, second thing. He'll have the spirit of wisdom. I want to touch down on the spirit of wisdom where Jesus was walking in.
His wisdom was from heaven. It's not something that you can get on this earth. It was that where you walk in. This is what will be upon you. The spirit of wisdom. Do you remember that moment where Jesus was 12 years old and he came into the temple and he was speaking to the Pharisees and all the teachers that were there? They were shocked from his knowledge because a 12-year-old child cannot receive this wisdom from earth or receive it on earth. This is where the Lord is leading us. He'll be in such knowledge and wisdom. You can't read this in a book. This will not be read out of someone's revelation. This will be your wisdom that the Lord will give you supernaturally. Next thing,
Jesus was walking in the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding. Jesus understood the times and seasons. He knew
what
fullness of what things or where is no fullness. Remember Jesus and Lazarus. Lazarus, when Lazarus died, they told him that his disciples told him that Lazarus is sick. He needs healing. And what's interesting is Jesus, if they told us, someone told us your best friend is sick, that was Jesus' good friend. If we heard something like that, we'd take off right away, go start praying for him for healing, for restoration. And you're thinking, Jesus, why is this? Your good friend is sick. Why did you wait till it's time for him to die? Why didn't you go and help him? Why is it that people have to go through such sorrow? You know, that's where the spirit of understanding was in. Not being moved by the emotions of this world, but moving with the understanding of heaven. He knew if he'd come there before his time, then this wonder would not happen. And the majority of people that have to believe into God, they would not believe, but through that situation, they believe into God. So that is why the spirit of understanding is that sometimes you have to move
going against human logic, and they'll tell you, what are you doing right now?
You need to move. You need to do this or not. You understand this. This is not the time.
It's not the age. You need to wait for the right time. This is what Jesus was moving in. Next thing. He had the spirit of counsel. Jesus was a great teacher on this earth. He knew the deepest revelations about heaven that before that time people had no idea. They had no idea what kingdom is, who the Father is, how the kingdom operates.
And Jesus had this gift of counsel. He
would explain everything to such a degree that a man could understand what kingdom is or who God is. And you know what? That's what God gives to us. Because we're here, we're so spiritual, quote-unquote. We understand all these words
and phrases. You come out there, we have friends that are unbelievers that we like to spend time with. And sometimes the right time comes,
conversation regarding God.
I don't even notice, but I switch myself into a Christian language, quote-unquote, and automatically I start speaking it, and they say, stop, can you just speak normal language? What are you saying right now? I said, okay. Lord, I have to present you in such a way that people that never had contact with you, they'll understand what I'm saying. And we, because we took the mantle of Jesus upon ourselves, we took his place upon the cross, this mission to go and preach the gospel, this is where church will move in. It will make God accessible to people. It will make him so accessible that children will be able to understand what kingdom is, who God is. And that is why when Jesus would speak in parables and stories so that people could understand, because if he'd speak in spiritual language, we'd still have no clue what he was saying. So, next thing, Jesus walked in the spirit of might. Spirit of might. So upon himself, he had supernatural manifestation of power of God. You'll remember his incidents when he would
command the storms to stop, going against the physics and walk on water,
when the physical realm would be obedient, when body parts would appear. This is the manifestation of mighty power of God. This is where the bride will walk in.
You are his bride. You are the part of his bride. You'll receive it, you'll walk in all these things.
You're not going to have this that you're praying for 10 people. If one of them will get healed, praise the Lord. And if it doesn't, well, there's always next time. That's not going to happen. If you're going to go pray, healing will happen. You'll pray for deliverance, it will happen. This is his fullness. Because with God, he doesn't shoot blanks. Every time he shoots, it's bullseye. And you have been selected to walk in these things. And the next thing, Jesus will walk in the spirit of knowledge. What is the spirit of knowledge? Jesus could discern the unclean hearts.
He could look at a man and see his motives. He could see what he's thinking, what he's planning.
You know, we as people, sometimes we can guess what a man carries upon himself. Sometimes people that move in the spirit of discernment, they can figure it out, but majority, we don't see the hearts of people. And that is why people that shouldn't be in ministries or on stages or whatever, take up certain positions, they're there.
And the people that have to lead the people or be on stages and speak his word, they're not allowed to go up there
because they're, the people don't have discernment. They don't know
what people
should be there and which ones shouldn't. And so I know that every one of us will walk in the spirit of discernment. This is the spirit of knowledge. Why Pharisees didn't like him? Because why was he hanging out with sinners? Because he saw something in these people that no one else saw. That is why he was drawn to these people. He saw something precious. And also people that seemed righteous amongst others, he'd stay away from them and say, you know what, you're hypocrites and you need to repent. People did not understand why. Jesus, this is not right. But Jesus saw further than that. He saw deeper than we see. This is what church will walk in. And the last thing, what he walked in, he had the spirit of reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. The reverential and obedient fear. And this is not a bad fear that, like, oh Lord, what if I'll do something wrong and I'm going to get punished, something bad will happen. No. In this incident, Jesus walked in the spirit of obedience.
Obedience to the Father. You know how many opportunities he had to say no to the cross or get out from a certain situation when it was not profitable for him? And sometimes you're thinking, Jesus, why can't you just stay quiet in this incident?
Why do you need these enemies? You see that they're hypocrites, but why do you have to say it? You know what? Sometimes the truth you speak will cause you harm.
Certain things you'll do, maybe it will be dangerous to your life, but if God said to do it, you have to do it because you walk in his
spirit of reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, because you love the Father and you cannot not be obedient. That is the fullness. We just quickly touch down on these things, and this is what church will walk in. I know that there's so much more. I will constantly talk about it, and I know that we will see it happening because it already happened in the Spirit. Church has to rise up. The time has passed by where what we're doing is just gossiping and complaining and competition, and all that stuff is gone. The time is gone because if we will not mature from this childhood stage, we'll miss it, because only a mature church, only the mature individuals that are completely in love with God, God will entrust them with these positions to walk in this power and authority. Because if you give this to our child in Christ, you know what, many things could go wrong, lives could be destroyed. Practically what we see right now around us, people that take up positions, they shouldn't even be there. What they do, they destroy other people. And for us to walk into something bigger, something more, we have to return to the love of the Father, because this is where we will learn to love other people. This is where maturity will come from, and right approach towards ministry will come, and that's how you'll understand what I have to do. What is the time for? Is this the right time? Where should I walk? Where should I wait a little bit? That is why this is for every one of you, and I want to touch down a little bit. Five things that can restrain you, hold you back from walking in this new thing, this move of God. First, unbelief. I chose the most important things. Maybe there are more, of course, but the main things are unbelief. That this could happen with you, that this is for you, that this could happen for you. With your unbelief, first of all, you shut your own doors, we build up walls, and we miss it. Number two, what can keep you back from this, from entering into the new, is not being completely consecrated and dedicated. You know, if you completely did not dedicate yourself to God, first of all, your life will be torturous. You'll be always tortured. I've seen people that do not dedicate themselves completely to God. They're miserable. They either want to be with God, and at the same time, they want to hang out over here. And they're most sorry people, because people that completely made their choice, dedicated themselves completely to God. Yes, hard times come. Yes, sometimes it's hard for you. Yes, you're under pressure. But you have power to look at all of this with your head up and raised high. And you have joy that does not depend on your circumstances. Number three.
What can keep you back is compromise with this world and the religion. Where this is the place where you give away your positions. So God can only move through a clean, completely, wholeheartedly sold out heart. Compromise with religion or with sin. What is compromise with religion? Oh, I was not taught this way. I don't believe it could happen. This is new for me. I don't understand it. It's better for me to remain in the old, you know, in the things that are convenient, and I understand them. And again, you totally miss it. And God says, take the step of faith. Do the things you've never done before. And you're afraid. You're just sitting there hiding, and you totally miss it. Next thing is number four, fear of the supernatural. Any fear will keep you back from any breakthrough. If you consider that this is some sort of occult practice or something satanic, something so out of this world, you will remain in your old things, and you'll know God upon that level that you've chosen to know Him. You know what? We choose ourselves how close we're going to walk with Him. Sometimes you look at one person and you're saying, wow, God is speaking to him. He always has visions. Constantly has revelation. What about me? At least I wish I had something. You know, sometimes we place ourselves into this position. What did we do to deserve what did we do? So how we position ourselves so that the Lord can start speaking to us. You know what? In the prayer closet, a person spends time with God. He searches for any opportunity to talk to God. He sacrifices his time. And then this person receives such depth and revelations. And you're thinking, I want to receive that as well. easy, but it doesn't happen easy.
You just need to
completely dedicate yourself to God. Next thing, number five, and the last.
Что тебя удержит от того, чтобы войти в новое вместе со всем телом, это нечистые мотивы.
What keeps you away from walking in this completely is unclean motives. If you have the desire to be popular, to glorify yourself, or to be accepted. Yeah, apparently it's good that God releases these signs and wonders and different manifestations come, different moves come. And we want to keep a piece of the pie to ourselves. It can happen through me. God is doing this through me. I'm the source of it all. And God just stops you and says, no, you're not ready. You're not ready. You don't understand why I'm doing all of this. And you don't understand who is standing at the head of it all. So, first of all, you have to deal with your motives.
Why you want the move of God in your life?
Why you want to move in signs and wonders?
You want your name to be known?
How
gifted you are? How talented you are?
How spiritual you are? Or do you want, for real, for people, for nations to change around you? For people around you to know the true life God. So figure out your motives. And I believe I desire each and every one of you to enter into this new,
not to remain in the old season, because the old season is done and over with. It's just in, just don't feel that that the previous season is it's just gone, and you have to feel the transition. You have to go with the transition and decide where you want to be, decide if you want to walk in the fullness of God, decide if you want to just advance in the fullness of God, or do you want to just remain the same? Or so decision is yours. And I just know that the church will rise up and this giant will wake up. Maybe he's not walking just yet, but the body is rising. And more and more of hindrances are falling off, and keys are being returned back to the church. We're taking them back, and very soon, the fullness of God will come, his movement, not just here in the church, but also outside. And God will move through you, even out there too. I will stop with that. Just want to pray right now with you, invite you into this prayer. You can rise up. As we pray, don't